So we're continuing our shir on Gan Emunah, the Garden of Faith, or of Shalom Arush. We're learning yesterday that the Torah brings an example that Rav Arush brings in the book as proof, one of the proofs, one of some evidence that it shows us mafarash in the Torah that Hashem is in charge of everything, whether we know about it or not, whether we understand it or not. What does he bring? He brings a case that we mentioned very briefly yesterday of the person who kills Shogeg by accident. And over there in the Torah, it says that, uses the word tu'unah, but the lashon, the language that the Torah uses indicates that it wasn't an accident, that it was planned. The word tu'unah means accident. So it says that the death happened by accident. But then later on in that same verse, it says Hashem brought the thing into his hand. Hashem created the situation that was going to happen. Even though it was an accident from the outside, Hashem put it together, created the situation so that would happen. Right? It was part of Hashem's design, his plan, that individual would lose his life at that time and in that place and in that situation. Even though the person who did it, so to speak, did it by accident. So he brings further. Where are we? Of Midrash. Midrash says like this. What are we talking about? What's an example of this situation where Hashem brings such a situation about? So, Shnei Bnei Adam, two people. Echad harag b'shogeg, echad harag b'mezid. Two people, one killed by accident, and one killed on purpose, deliberately. Loyo Aidim b'davar sheyidu. Neither of them had witnesses. They both killed in different occasions. One did it deliberately, one did it by accident, but there was no witnesses to the event. The one who deliberately killed someone, so it looks like he got away with murder. He should have been killed, right, by a Beit Din, by the court, because he deliberately killed someone. And the one who killed by accident, he should really have been sent into one of the cities of exile, right? Into Galut, if he would have been tried by a court. That's what his punishment should have been. But neither of them were witnessed, so it didn't happen. But Hashem himself makes the din, makes the judgment for them. How? They're both invited, so to speak, to the same inn, the same place. Shem arranges it so that they both arrive at the same place, these two guys who don't know each other. Zesharag b'mezid, yoshev tachat asula. The one who killed on purpose, deliberately, he ends up sitting underneath a ladder. A ladder, right? The one who killed by accident, he climbs up the ladder and then falls by accident and kills the one underneath. Right? And there were witnesses watching. So what happened? So he's now the one who killed by accident because he fell off the ladder. He's sent to Galut, like he should be. And the one who was underneath the ladder, he got killed. So it turns out that Hashem made the judgment correct, meaning even though the first time this one killed by accident, this one killed by, but they didn't, they looked like they got off, Hashem arranged events that they both got exactly what their punishment should have been previously. Therefore, we can see from this example how much hashkacha, how much divine providence there is behind every event. Every event is arranged. This story that we just told is a made-up story in order to show how things could be. But that's an example of how they actually are. That's exactly what Hashem is doing all the time. Creating the situations in order to rectify what needs to be rectified. But each person goes through exactly what he needs to go through, whether we realize it or not. We don't realize it most of the time, we're just wandering through our lives. But the whole time, everything that's happening is fixing things.
Even if we're, this is not me, but a righteous man who's attached to Hashem, would he have this awareness?
So what we're learning here is that it's a duty of every Jew, every person, to look and see what are the messages Hashem is sending him. So if I'm looking for the messages, meaning if I'm righteous, if I'm aware of my emunah, I'm looking for it, then I'm gonna see it more and more. I'm not gonna understand everything, because God doesn't want me to understand everything, because then I'm on His level and I'm not on my level. I have to be in a place where I don't know stuff in order to be able to serve Him. He's the King, and I'm much, much lower, like a million times lower, right? So there has to. So I'm not going to know everything, but there is for sure. The more that I am looking, the more I will see. The more that I want to see, the more Hashem will show me in terms of what's going on.
Not only seeing, but if you're on the level, more than the level means. You're not just looking to be an observer or to, you have these sorcerers or whatever. It's just a matter. It's a matter of you want to serve Hashem, and therefore Hashem lets you see His workings to whatever extent you're on the level that you can accomplish yourself, you can sanctify yourself.
Okay.
That you, and then you can help people that way also. Also, sometimes there's these tzaddikim, they can see a person and they can know where he came from or what he has to fix up and what he's done. So he sees what happened to this person.
But
it's used for helping people, so the Hashem.
Right. Measure for measure. The more we want to see, the more Hashem will reveal Himself to us. Dependent on us. Often we don't want to see. There's a phrase that says that the truth obligates. The truth obligates. So people don't want to know the truth. Right? The very famous phrase in what was that film with Jack Nicholson? He's playing the army officer. He says, you don't want to know the truth. You can't handle the truth. It's true. Sometimes we don't want to know the truth. Right, don't tell me how bad I am. You want your wife to tell you exactly how bad you are? Probably not. Maybe not. Not everything. Slowly, just give me a little bit. Like, that's why I can take it the moment. But the more we can accept, the more He can show us. So we have another midrash along the similar lines. The second midrash we've got here says like this: Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, "Hodieni na et derachecha, show me your ways." Right? Moshe asked Hashem, "Let me understand how you work, Hashem." So there's a midrash that says, "So what happened?" The midrash says like this: Midrash says that Hashem said, "Fine, come up the mountain and I'll show you." So he went up the mountain, Har Sinai maybe. He went up the mountain, and on the way, he stopped by a brook, a stream that was there, and he sat down to take a drink. And then he saw, while he was there taking a drink, he saw a person coming along, they weren't watching him, he could see them, but from where he was standing, he could see them, they couldn't see him. He saw someone come along, also to take a drink from the stream. And as this guy came down, bent down to take a drink, he dropped his purse. And he didn't notice that he dropped it, he took a drink, and he went. A little later on, a second guy came along to also take a drink. He went down to the same spot and he saw the purse and he looked down in it and he picked it up and put it in his pocket. Drunk a drink, then went off. Along came a third person who also came to the same spot in the spring, came there to drink, take a drink. Took a drink, well, just finished drinking, and the first guy came back looking for his purse. Sees a guy there and says to him, "Did you take my purse?" Guy's like, "No, didn't take anything." He got very angry with him and he killed him. And then walked away. And that was the end of the scenario. And Moshe says to Hashem, "Hashem, what's going on? I said, show me your ways, and you show me this very strange, right? This one lost some money, this one stole his money, or got it, right, for free, and this one got killed for no reason. That's me, you want me to understand? That's how you run the world?" So Hashem said, "Yeah, exactly. Why?" So because you didn't see the rest of the story. That one that lost his wallet, lost his money, he stole that money, it wasn't his. It actually belonged to the second guy. When the second guy came along and found it, it was his money being returned to him. And then when the third guy came along, and he died, he was killed. He was killed by the first guy, for apparently no reason. But what actually happened was that the third guy, the one who got killed, had killed the father, the father of the first one, killed his father, unbeknownst to him. And the son was basically taking revenge, Dam HaGoel, that the close relative was allowed to take on the killer. And therefore everything was perfect. Everything was perfect judgment. And Hashem was showing him, this is my way. Meaning, when a person sees the world, he just sees what we witnessed. But he doesn't know what's going on behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, everything is perfect. It looks like it's not just, it's not fair. This one lost money, this one stole money, this one got killed for no reason. But actually, everything is perfectly how it should be. We see from these midrashim that there is perfect divine providence on everything that happens in the world. Sorry, he just brings back the pasuk here. Shekol tu'uneh muzumenet al yedei b'orei hashkacha pratit al pi hashpanot shel mala. Every accident, in inverted commas, that takes place in the world is ordered and designed specifically by the Creator with exact divine providence and based on cheshbonot shel mala, based on the accounting of what's going on upstairs.
See, that's the part I have a hard time with.
Which bit?
That everything, that Hashem is ruling the world according to, I hate to use the word according to his wishes, because he knows what happens. But he has this plan for the world, and all the things that happen are part of the plan.
Right.
But sometimes oftentimes we see instances of horrifying things. We say, how can they be part of any plan?
Right.
That's so inhuman. That's another word I don't understand.
Right.
If it's part of God's plan, it really, it's beyond inhuman. It's just part of God's plan.
No, so he's not saying that. He's not saying the reason bad things happen in the world is because that's the way God wants it. And it's his plan, and if he wants to do stuff that looks bad, it's up to him, it's his world. He's not saying that at all. He's saying the stuff that looks bad only looks bad because we don't have the full story. If we had the full story, it's perfect justice. Perfect is exactly how it should be. The reason why this guy's suffering is because he made someone else suffer.
Not always. Sometimes it could be a kapara. I mean, he read our
response.
There are a lot of reasons that we, there are a lot of aspects we can't fathom, because there's so many different aspects to whatever happens that we can't, it's hard to, we don't have the computer to put in all the equation, all the components to know what's really. That's but why the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You were saying a possibility.
No.
There's other possibilities. There's other possibilities. Well,
each one of these possibilities that exist is perfectly fair. Not only is it fair and just, it's actually very merciful. He brings here now, he brings an example of someone who comes into a
better example is, on a molecular level, there's what's called Brownian motion. Random motion of molecules. And when you look at it just on a molecular level, everything's are colliding and moving around and you have no idea what's happening. But on a solid, on a larger scale, this is simply a pen.
Right.
Which means that if we look very, very close, it looks totally chaos.
Ah, okay.
We only see a small picture.
Right. We only see a small picture. But on a larger scale, it's simply a solid pen.
Right. Nahon, there was a very good, very few ever, in my experience, good advertisements ever made. But one that they had in the UK was for a newspaper. Oh, they got lucky and they had a decent advert for once. What was the advert? So the advert showed this rough looking black guy walking down the street, like someone like you wouldn't want to, right? And a businessman walking to work with a briefcase. And the rough looking black guy sees the businessman, goes over to him, and the businessman like pulls his briefcase to his chest, right? In fear, and the black guy grabs him, and it stops. And then the slogan is, something along the lines, paraphrasing, you need to see the bigger picture. And then the camera pulls out and he's standing over a building site and there's something about to fall off the building site and the guy is saving his life by pushing him out of the way. But from the small angle of the camera where it's filmed, it looks like he's about to mug him. Right? So, similar thing to what you're saying. From our perspective, we don't see the full picture. We don't see what exactly is going on. He brings here an example. He says someone goes in to see a movie, and he comes late, and he comes towards the end of the movie, and he's watching the movie, and on the screen, right, some woman is getting beaten up by a guy. Guy's physically beating her up, hitting her, and he stands up. He's like, "What's going on? How can he be doing that to her?" And the guy next to him says, "Shh, sit down. You missed the first half of the movie. You don't know what she did to him. She's getting off very lightly." Right? So that's us. Like, we see the end of the, right? And what's going on here? Doesn't look right. But what's actually happening is that it's actually very merciful what's happening. But how come this person's suffering now? Well, you didn't see what led to this. Why he's in that position, and actually the fact he's suffering is actually for his own good, and he's being led off lightly to what he actually deserves. But all from a position of justness, meaning everything Hashem does is meduyak, is exact. It's not simply, this is the way I want it. Kacha. This is the way I want it, and I don't care. If you like it, you like it, and if you don't, if it's good for you, it's good for you, and if it's not, it's not good for you. It's my plan. It's not saying that at all. Every single thing Hashem does is exactly perfect, and we just don't know. We have no clue why it's perfect. We don't know. That's why we have Emunah. If we knew why it was perfect, if we had a way of finding out, of seeing exactly why it was perfect, so I wouldn't need Emunah. I can throw this in the bin, and we can just get a book that says your life is lived according to logic. Find out what the logical reason is, and then you're off, you go forward. But we don't work on logic. But we dafka have to work on Hashem, meaning that we trust and we believe in you. I have no reason to understand why I should believe in you, why this is good, doesn't look good to me. But nonetheless, I'm trusting in you that it is good. That's my emunah. Without that, I've got no emunah. That exactly is my emunah, nothing else. There is no other emunah. Emunah is trusting in God when I don't know otherwise. If I knew otherwise, if I understood, I don't need to trust in Him. It's clear. I don't need to trust in my parent or in my sibling or in my friend. If I see what they do is good, and because of what they do to me is good. So I like them, I trust them, I love them, because I see practice, tachlis, are they being nice, are they not being nice? And that's what I base my decision on. It's not based on emunah. I trust that you're a good person, to an extent, but it's not really based on that. But with Him it is. Because I don't understand His plan.
We have no idea what's happened in the past, in the last 5,000 years, and how many Googling. I mean, take Ukraine now. Right. We have no idea what's interacting between all the pogroms that have happened in the last 400 or 500 years or 600 years, let alone whatever.
Right. We don't know who we were.
Exactly.
Right? We could have. We have parts of our soul, parts of us. It could have been Goyim. Right? We could have been the ones on the other side of the pogrom, the people who were, right? Rav Arush says to him, Bli Neder, this is what he said. He said that in a previous lifetime, Rav Arush believes that he was someone who led people astray. Right? He took them away from Judaism. And now he's coming to fix that. Ooh. So all the Rav Arush.
On himself.
That he was someone who, right? So now this is just a fix, right? Everything he's doing is now to bring people back, right? The good is always 500 times stronger than the bad, so hopefully it wasn't, right? Didn't do so much, and he's doing a lot more. But, so, who was I? I don't know. I know what I did. Do I know what I did? That I've got a, right now in this body, in this lifetime, Baruch Hashem was very kind to me. I'm quite a nice guy. I am, really, basically speaking. Okay, very nice. But who knows who I was before? I don't know what I was like this before. I mean, who knows? I might have been a complete, you know, nasty guy. Who knows? And therefore, stuff that I have to go through now, that's not very nice. It's not very fair. Well, who knows what I'm cleaning up, paying for,
so
wiping off.
The person you meet in this life, you meet in the life before?
Yeah. The people around you, your wife, your kids, your family, your friends, people who, right, are people who you've got business with. Right? I tell you, the guy in the phone shop, I have business with him. Why? I have had to be there this week four times. I've had to go, that doesn't work, the SIM doesn't work, this didn't work, that, right, I've got some business, I've finished business with him, I need to pay him a bit more money, I need to give him a bit more time and attention, whatever it is, there's no reason why my phone needs to not work four times, a brand new phone that's straight off the box, brand new SIM, it doesn't work, four times. I've got unfinished business. And the same is true with everyone that I meet, that I'm interacting with, I've got unfinished business.
I have this one guy too, there was this thing, after 2 hours she called me again. It was 3 or 4 times, I said, my son is. So now I take a book. So I take a book and she goes, oh, nice.
Right, and that's why we shouldn't worry about, you know, we get overcharged, this card's turned into merit, we're just paying back. It's easy just to go with the flow. Don't argue. Just allow it, right? This guy needs to talk, I have to come back, I have to do this, I have to do that. It's all. Give him a book, yeah. I'm sure this guy needs a book.
I mean, Gilgalim gets really interesting. I mean, when you think about it, because how many generations have it been? And how many generations have we been in Gilgalim? And what have we done in the past generations to either correct things or mess things up?
Right. You don't know if...
we don't know.
Who
we
your see. Wife was. Your wife could have been your daughter, could have been your son, right? You could have been
your partner.
Could have been part. You could have been the wife and she could have been the husband, the other way around. All permutations are possible, right? She gives you a hard time now, but your wife, like, for example, a wife gives a husband a hard time. Could happen. I've never heard of it. But let's say a wife gives her husband a hard time. Right? Why? Because maybe it was the other way around and you really gave her, right, you know, at the previous time and you're just going to give back. Right? Could be. Right? That's kapara.
Can you fix for your friend to your parents too? Let's say there was not religious.
Yeah.
So now you become religious. You can relate them.
Yeah.
That's a big merit for them.
Yeah. We learnt in the Gemara that the sins pass on to the sons to fix, not as a punishment, so that they can fix them. Right. So it means that we fix. We fix our past, other people's past. We're all connected, right? And also the neshamot of they're split according to Ari, right? And those stuff I don't really know, but I heard bits that the souls, they're not just one soul. There's different bits of soul. I've got a bit from here, a bit from there. You have a main soul. You have different bits. Right.
The shell, the herald. And the
right, and so each thing you go through, you're fixing a bit of this, fixing a bit of that. We're doing lots of things that we have no clue. We'll find out later on. But everything, the rule is that everything we're going through, and the same with the other people, right? Hashem rules the world. It's the same for everyone. Everything every single person is going through is only exactly according to what they need, and it's exactly perfect. It's perfect justice. There's no when a person gets up to heaven, the Gemara says in which one did we learn it in Chagiga, that says that you sign when they give you the judgment, you sign it. You do personally. You say you're 100% correct. Yeah, no, you don't have any problems and arguments. Say yeah, but that's.
Just, is there any way we can meet the person who's going to come and fix all the stuff we messed up?
That's you. You're look in the mirror. You're him.
No, the things I've messed up in my life.
You're not finished yet.
I know, but I'm saying, is there anyone going to meet the guy who's coming after me to fix everything?
Why do you want a guy to fix you? You're going to fix yourself. You don't need anyone to fix. What are you going to be doing for the next 70 years, right?
Yeah, but
twiddling your thumbs. You're going to be fixing, whether you like it or not, right? Hashem fit right by. If you're happy, you can fix. You're going to go around fixing because you're happy. You go, hey, how are you doing? Smiling. Give, fine, you pay, take. Well, I don't find, not, whatever. Fix it. And if you don't do it that way, so you're going to fix it by the fact that you're going to suffer. Our suffering is also a kapara. It's not a nice way.
That's kapara, man.
Kapara, at atonement. To fix, right? From suffering. But either way, we're going to ultimately fix. And what we don't fix... So they have something called Gehinnom, unfortunately, right? Which fixes the bits that you didn't get to fix either. Or you have another Gilgal and come back and fix again. So, can't we can't just like offlay... I mean, the Torah says it passes on to the kids, right? But I don't know how much and when what and how that worked. But we still have to deal with it. The buck stops here at the end of the day. So it's not really worth coming back again. And Gehinnom's not fun, apparently. So, how do we fix? We fix, according to very simple, only by emunah. Our fixing is emunah. Our fixing is to accept everything with love. Everything is good. Everything came from Hashem. Hashem is only good. That emunah fixes it all. That's what fixes. That's the test that we came down here to see Hashem. And that's what's going to clear us up. Tov, Be'ezrat Hashem, will finish there today and continue tomorrow.
And there's always Mashiach, since we're probably the generation of Mashiach.
Meaning what?
Mashiach's going to be here soon, hopefully.
Yeah, he's not going to save us.